Welcome to the mall.
Turn the volume up.
Hey y'all, this is Alicia Keys.
This your boy Chris Brown.
Hello, I am Calvin Harris.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, my name is CeeLo Green.
What's up, y'all? I'm Beyonce.
We thank you for listening and being a part of this new music experience. Welcome to the mall. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the first episode of The Mall, that is Music for All. I am your one and only, sliding right in, David Michael. I'ma get right to it. The Mall is as straightforward as it sounds. You see, I'm a music person, and I mean all music, but I do, of course, have a preference to which I lean more to, and that is, drumroll, yes, hip-hop, as expected. Yeah, I know everyone is a hip-hop lover these days, and we make so much noise, and that, of course, will make a lot of noise. But I do want to engage everyone in all genres. So I do rock, hip-hop, and alternative. So if you've got a genre and a group and anything music-related at all that you want to talk about, join me. Let's talk. Let's really get into it. Let's have, you know, like a really deep conversation about music and its meaning and its source and all of that. Because music is a lifeblood, okay? It is something, to be honest, we cannot live without. So I'ma just throw arguments and questions out there to all interested. Since this is just an intro episode, I'ma just throw some new songs that just came out and you tell me your thoughts on them. And without further ado, enjoy. Now, if you want to reach me or contact me, hit me up on my Instagram at da.ye_ or Twitter at DavidDMichael1. Yes, that is DavidDMichael1. So one word, DavidDMichael1. So that's two D's in DavidDMichael1. Welcome to the mall. Welcome to the mall. We thank you for listening and being a part of this new music experience.
The Business Line Podcast.
Hey guys, it's Kenneth here. How are y'all doing? This is me answering your mind-bugging questions, the tough questions you've got, the things that are bugging you. And some of you guys have sent in some of your questions, and we're just here to answer them one by one. No matter how ridiculous people might think they sound, your questions matter to us, and we just want to get right to the bottom of it, you know, give you a chance, give you an answer. The answers we give are things we believe strongly will be supplemental to your understanding, and we're not imposing our views on you, just to give you a chance for an objective look at things from scripture. So all right, let's get to it. Today's question is quite a very interesting one, and I didn't phrase it in such a question. I just put it under this topic: when dating goes wrong.
Wow.
Yeah, when dating goes wrong. When you talk about dating, there are little things that come to mind. You know, people ask questions: how do I know I'm ready for a dating relationship? How do I know the right person? I'm in a relationship. How do I break out? How do we handle conflict? Things like I know I can change him, you know, and we've addressed some of that in some of our posts. But I just want to talk more about this, when dating goes wrong. And I'm going to talk about three major things about when dating goes wrong. First and foremost, dating goes wrong when it's purposeless. Yes, when you go into dating with no purpose in mind.
Vivify, awakening the hearts of all to the finished work of Christ.
We're just going to answer this, you know, this purposeless dating. You know, there's a quote that comes to mind, and it's so powerful. It stays in my mind so clearly. This is what it says. You know, going into a relationship, you know, with no purpose of marriage in mind is kind of like walking into a grocery store or a supermarket, and you know, you go there without any money. Two things would happen when you do that: either you leave unsatisfied, or you end up taking something that is not yours. And that's what happens in a lot of relationships. A lot of people just don't go into relationships for the long haul. A lot of people think dating is a recreational activity where you just find someone you like and you just want to have, you know, some extra privileges more than the friendship with the person. You just want to have that intimacy so quickly, but you don't have marriage in mind. The truth is, in the biblical storyline, we hardly see. In fact, dating wasn't a social construct in those days. It wasn't something that was done. It wasn't an institution, so to speak, and still isn't an institution today. What they did was just simply find someone that fits some criteria. Maybe they're part of their same tribe, you know, and they're beautiful to behold, and they go for it. Get married, get engaged, you know. Sometimes it's arranged by families in those days. They didn't waste any time, you know. But today, a lot of people focus so much on dating that they don't see the bigger picture. You know, marriage is kind of like Paul says in Ephesians 5. It mirrors the union between Christ and the church. Marriage, not dating. So if that is not in your mind, you find out that you leave your dating relationship hurt, unsatisfied, and probably take someone who is not meant to be yours because you didn't have the right purpose, you didn't have the right vision when going to a relationship. But the second thing is missionary dating, commonly called flirting to convert, you know, flirt to convert. You know, a lot of people, you know, you find this guy, he's so attractive, he's tall, dark, handsome, and you just say, oh my god, see those chiseled jaws and broad shoulders, you know, and he's just like, he's just it for you. And, you know, more so, he comes up to you, talks to you, tells you how beautiful you are, you know, keeps the conversation going, tells you sweet words, and you find yourself falling for him. But the downside is he's not saved. What do you do about it? You know, can you, the most commonly thing you hear is, I can change him. I can change him. I'm so sure. I mean, if only I can talk to him long enough, pray for him, you know, deep enough, and love him, you know, just love him into the kingdom. If I might say, they're very, it's a noble cause, actually. It's good that you want to see someone saved, but I tell you, you might end up worse than you started out for several reasons. You find out that many people seem to change, you know, the guy may start to change his behavior around you because that impresses you, because that makes you like him more, that he has an appearance of godliness and Christianity. But you know, many guys are good actors. I must tell you, they have Hollywood embedded in their genes. They know how to act the part, you know. So you have to watch out carefully. I do know of people, friends of mine, who have been through relationships like that, trying to change the guy, and he looks good, like things are working out, and only to find out that many things eventually don't work out. You know, not in all cases, of course. Sometimes, rarely though, I must add, people get converted. But you know, when things don't work out, eventually you find out that that person who was trying to get his character in order starts to go very wayward, in fact so far away from Christ than he was when he was with you. So don't go into relationship with the idea of I want to convert this person, because you don't have the power to change. That is the job description of God himself. He's the only one who can change anyone, and so you have to let him do the job. Let someone else, if I would add, do the job of converting, or helping to convert, preaching the gospel to this guy. You know, and the other thing is that when you want to convert the person, many times it's done with the motive of selfishness. It's actually a selfish act to want to change the person just so they can be right for you, or to get approval from your family and friends and other believers because he should be saved, you know. But the scripture that talks about this is 2 Corinthians 6 from verse 14 downwards. Very strong words, I must say. And it's so, a lot of people overlook this, but it says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Alright? Do not be mismatched with unbelievers, the HCSB version says. For what partnership is there between righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship does light have with darkness? Do you see the terminologies used here? What agreement does Christ have with Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? And what agreement does God's sanctuary have with idols? Do you see that? He calls you God's sanctuary, calls unbelievers idols. For we are the sanctuary of the living God. And God said, I will dwell amongst them and walk amongst them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch anything unclean and I will welcome you. So this is a strong word, a quotation from the Old Testament saying, come out from these guys. They might seem like the perfect people. They might seem, she might be beautiful. He might be handsome. They might be like your entire world. But this is a command from God. Do not engage in missionary dating. Don't go in with the idea of changing the person. All right. Don't flirt to convert. And the third thing that goes wrong in a lot of dating relationships, especially ones that are already started, is dating without boundaries. And this happens a lot of people don't put and draw the line. Where is the limit in our relationship? Before you know it, it might start up as a very harmless hug or a peck on the cheek, you know, and it seems so harmless at first, you know, but later on you're like, oh, it's okay if we kiss, it's not a big deal. And then you kiss. Of course, no Bible verse directly says kissing is wrong. In fact, you see a lot of scriptures saying greet each other with a holy kiss. Of course, it was a cultural thing to the Jewish culture, the Jewish people, to kiss. You know, that was their greeting. Today, it's a handshake. But back to what I was saying, many people start kissing, and before you know it, they start getting more physical. And it doesn't just start in one day. I mean, someone told me that they stayed on the bed with their boyfriend. On the same bed, nothing happened, of course, the first day. The next time it happened, nothing happened. But of course, with time, things happened. I mean, deep things. You know, sin is progressive. It doesn't just start so fast, so deep. It goes gradually. And so when you leave a lot of room for the devil to work, you will pay for it dearly. And I hope you don't. So be wise. Know what is your limit. If a simple hand shake or a touch from the other person affects you, and you know you're weak, you know you had issues and struggles in the past with sex or porn or something, then you can tell the person easily. Be free and be open that, oh, I'm not so strong. Be honest. If you touch me this way, I get so sensitive to those kinds of things. So I would ask if you can just not do that, or if it's a hug, or if it's a kiss, you know, or a kiss. You just have to be firm. You know, pursue sexual purity with your partner, with your boyfriend, with your girlfriend. Make sure that you stand out in this generation where sexuality and premarital sex is so prevalent, it's almost normal, it's almost normative. So that is my advice. That's when dating goes wrong, when you have purposeless dating, you engage in missionary dating where you want to save this person by all means possible because you like them so much and you can't let go of them, and dating without boundaries. So I hope you've learned a few things here. More answers are coming in on this platform, so stay tuned and God bless you. Stay vivified, okay? Love you.
The Vivified Podcast. For more teachings, please visit www.vivify365.org. God bless you. The Vivified Podcast.
Hey guys, it's Ken again, and I'll be answering yet another question.
Oh, thank you! Yay!
You have the questions, and we have the answers. At least, well, we try our best. So today's question is, can I listen to secular music as a believer? Can I listen to secular music? Is that cool? Can I listen to Beyonce?
What's up, y'all? I'm Beyonce.
Rihanna. Chris Brown.
It's your boy, Chris Brown.
Addicted Gold. Simi. You know them. Well, I'm here to give a very honest, simple answer to that question. You know, it's, by the way, it's not circular, it's secular. It's not a shape, it's not like round, secular. Just that's by the way. Anyways, I think to answer this question appropriately, we need to know exactly what secular music means. All right, from the dictionary, if we're going to go by the dictionary simply says something secular is something that is not religious or sacred or spiritual. It's not bound or subject by religious rule. So it's something exclusive outside of the church, outside of religion, you know, in that sense. So let's ask this question. I think the reason why a lot of people have issues with this and maybe condemn a lot of people for listening to secular music is because they don't realize that music is only just an expression of secularism. You know, think about it. Secularism can be seen also in movies. How many of you have ever asked, is it okay to watch a secular movie? Like, almost no one asks that kind of question. Allow me to burst some bubbles right now. Did you know that Sound of Music is a secular movie? Did you know Lion King was a secular movie? Do you know Amazing Spider-Man was a secular movie? And all the Marvel movies, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, all of them, from Thor to Iron Man to, yeah, pretty interesting movies, amazing. They're all secular movies. Yeah, but no one cares about those ones in that aspect, you know, because it's not, I mean, there's no nudity, there's no sexual indulgence there, or sexual scenes, or anything offensive in that sort of way. But you know, the same thing you can say about music and art. I mean, you have a lot of artists there who paint and draw. Some do paintings that are quite graphic. Some do moderate, but they don't have to do about maybe a drawing of a cross or a drawing of Jesus Christ or an apostle or something about the Bible. You know, those are secular artists also. So the question here is, what is the limit? You know, where should we draw the line when it comes to music? And this is quite simple. Anything that does not leave you with a transformed mind, something that doesn't motivate you in the biblical way, so that doesn't inspire you to do good and help others and show love to people or inspire you to achieve your goals, if you want to put it in that motivational sense, then I would recommend and say that it's quite okay. For example, you have Michael Jackson's Man in the Mirror, where he says, I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. It's talking about if you want to start a change, you start with the man in the mirror. And that's not exactly a gospel song, but it has a lot of meaning, and it does change the way people think for the better. But I would also add and say that you should go for more, go for higher. You know, you can have an orange that just has drops of juice. You can have a very juicy orange that you squeeze and you feel all the juice coming out of it. That's what gospel songs are. They have so much meaning, so much beauty. They bless you as a believer. They edify your soul. That's why you give more attention to those things, because they bless you. They're transformational. The words even the words themselves are life transforming, especially when it has the message of the gospel in it. It can save a life. So I always recommend that you go for better. But you know, secular music in a general sense is not all bad, but there are bad ones. There are ones that are just straight out, you know, so graphic. You listen to the words and like, whoa, you can almost see the picture of what they're saying when they talk about sexuality and drugs and money. You know, you avoid all that. It's toxic, it's harmful for you. Just be honest with you. I know the beats are awesome. I know the tunes are so good. You just feel, you see your legs, you know, tap into the beat. That's fine. You know, the beats are cool. That's the point. They're meant to be cool for you to like them. But you should avoid such lyrics that are toxic to you, because before long, they start to have so much impact in your mind. I mean, the reason why you can't forget A, B, C, D, E, F, G, or Do, A, D, F, M, is because the music has etched those words to your mind. You cannot forget them. That's what music does. It makes things more memorable and stick more. So if you want to have drugs, money, sex stuck in your mind, then I mean, it's a free world. Go ahead. But if you want to have good thoughts, what Philippians 4:8 talks about, think about those things which are good and pure and honest and lovely and good report. Those things, if that's what you want to think about, then I mean, go for a gospel. Go go for Christian music and go for inspirational music that just might be secular but is not toxic to you. So I hope that has helped in any way. Of course, this is just supplemental. We could give more illustrations and more explanations about this, but this is just for the time being. Thank you. I hope you learned something new. Till next time, God bless, grace, and peace.
The Vivifying Podcast.